Please turn with me to the scripture reading. There's a New Testament, Old Testament readings. Mark chapter 2, verse 23-28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" And Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Amen.
All right, before we study scripture, let's pray. Lord, as we come today before your holy word, would you humble us and make us teachable? May we not hear so much the words of my sermon preparation or anything, but hear more the words of the Spirit speaking directly to our hearts. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to find rest in you and to find restoration in you through your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I want to just kind of open up with a couple of questions and see if this kind of relates to you. I'm sure people in D.C., you don't struggle with these things, but I do. Have you ever felt like you've been controlled by your schedule? That your most oppressive boss is your calendar? Have you ever felt like you're running on empty, but you have to keep running anyways because your responsibility is required of you? And further on that, how do you recharge when you're running on empty? What's something that you do to renew yourself when you feel like you just can't go on anymore? Do you buck up or just keep going? What are the things that you do? You know, these questions really come to mind because I don't know if you know my background, but I've sort of lived all across the continent, really. I've lived both on the West Coast and the East Coast, in Canada and in the States. And I found this sort of interesting phenomena. I'm sure if some of you who have lived bicoastally have noticed there's a big difference. If you're from the West, you get a job, and then you start to work. And why do you work? You work so that you can earn enough to do things that you consider your life. You know, I take this job so that on the weekends I can really do what I want to do with my life. Right? What's the East Coast life? Well, the East Coast is like your work is your life, right? And if you have time afterwards, then you can do things. But don't forget, your life is work. Work is life. And it's interesting when you meet these West Coast folks and the East Coast folks. And then I have to admit, Hawaii is a whole new culture in itself. It's just like, it takes it to a whole another extreme. So you can talk to people from Hawaii about that. But anyways, this West Coast, East Coast culture, it's very interesting. And we all have this different understanding of what it means to work and what it means to rest. And why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing this up as sort of a little balance to what I've been talking about in the past two sermons about spiritual warfare. You know, what I was trying to really get across is that let's not be complacent in our Christian walk. It's not over. It is a battle. You know, it really is warfare, and that we need to be faithful in taking the tools of warfare. But the important thing about any warfare, any difficult work, is to remember that you have to pace yourself. You know, it's impossible to persevere in battle if you don't have places of rest along the way. You know, yesterday we were hiking on the Billy Goat Trail at the CNO Canal. We're having a lot of fun. And you know, I wanted to like just jump over those rocks and stuff, and warning me is like, but Rebecca's actually climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. And she told me that a lot of people who, they don't summit, if those people who just kind of bound off and keep running everywhere and just nonstop, and that was me. However, that wasn't Kilimanjaro, but I don't know if I could do it, personally. So points for her. Anyways, and just coming back to that concept of pacing, all good athletes know the importance of pacing. You know, yes, we can push on. We can push on to grow and to develop ourselves. But there's a point where if you're not pacing yourself, it actually becomes detrimental to your development. And I really feel that life with God is the same. And that is exactly why God gave us the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath is this day of rest. Literally, Shabbat means rest. But it's an active word. It's not a passive word as we understand rest. It's an active rest, if you will. And I'll be talking more about that. And why do we do that? 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. It's to develop this holy rhythm so that we can be faithful to the end. You know, I know some people, you know, I've heard of some people who have been very cheap and like, you know, I don't do oil changes because it just adds up after time. So I just drive my car as long as possible. And then my friend told me about one person who didn't do that. And basically, while he was driving, this gear shot up straight through the dashboard into the seat because he had never done an oil change. And people say, well, you know what? I just missed that one oil change. No big deal, right? And I suppose you can drive that car. I suppose you can keep running if you want, but it will catch up with you eventually. And you know, many Christians, we want to just keep battling and battling, but we overestimate our strength. And we underestimate the power of being disciplined about rest and restoration in God. And I want to ask you, do you realize that today, our gathering here today, is the purpose of Shabbat, about rest and restoration? Do you feel like this Sunday worship, that this whole day is a day that is committed to resting and being restored in God? Do you feel like this is a day where you see the greatness of God and who He is? And at this point, for people who maybe are more like history buffs and such, you can take notes on this if you want. Some people might wonder, how did we get from that seventh day, Shabbat, to the first day of Sunday? You know, how did we switch this tradition? I suppose if you kind of look back in history, on the more official sense, Constantine in 321, he basically declared that on the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and people residing in cities rest, and let all workshops be closed. And so it started from this government position. But people don't realize that this was actually just a reflection of a Christian practice that had been happening for about 2 centuries before. And basically, we even read in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, that it was a common practice for believers to meet on the first day of the week to break bread and to hear the teachings that Paul gave. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, it says that they set apart the first of the week as this time to regularly collect offerings so that they could share with the believers who were in need. And why was it this first day? And a lot of people believe it was the first day to celebrate the resurrection. And in a way, Easter, if you will, is still that day of rest. But why is it our day of rest? Because it's that day we celebrate new life in Christ. We're called to remember in obedience, the greatness of God. But it's not necessarily tied up in a seventh day, a sixth day, a fifth day. Romans chapter 14, it says that one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. And while the day of the week is something that is subject to be open, the central understanding of it is more important. All of us are made for this holy rhythm. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. But we Christians in particular have set aside Sunday as that day of rest for us. And you know, I want to share a little bit of my upbringing. I grew up, my dad was very stern, very strict. I mean, he seemed like a nice guy here, but let me tell you some stories. We were not allowed to rent any videos at the time when, on Sunday. We were not allowed to go out to the mall. We were not allowed to do anything. We were only going to church, And then after church, we come back, have a meal, and then we go back to church again for a Sunday evening service. So Sunday was a real, it was a big event. We couldn't do anything. We didn't go out. And, you know, can you imagine as a young boy growing up, you're just thinking, like, why is Sunday such a drag? Why is it so difficult? And I only remember it was until I went to a church in Korea many, many years later in my 20s for the first time. And it was a huge church, and they had about 5 services. And it was like a fast food service kind of thing. It's like we went to the first service, and the whole point was my uncle wanted to take us out sightseeing that day. So we went to like the 8 o'clock service. We got out by 8:45, you know, and we can't stick around to fellowship because they're bringing in the next service because like the room is so small. So like, hurry up, come in, hurry up, get out. You know, and as soon as we got out, what are we going to do? We went sightseeing. And I just remember thinking at the end of the day, we had done all of these things. We went out, and I felt like, blah. I felt like today was just like any other day. And I realized at that moment, is like, okay, maybe I didn't agree with like the oppressive, you know, nature of my dad's discipline. But I did see the point of making Sunday different. It totally threw off the rhythm of the rest of my week. I remember in Japan, there's not many churches out there. It's 0.5% Christian. I had to travel 3 hours by train to get to a church. And I remember 1 week I didn't go to church because, you know, it's so much work. And I remember that week it went on fine. It felt like, hey, didn't do the oil change. Everything seems to be going okay. But sure enough, the week, it was off. The rhythm of the week was off. You see, when Jesus said something, he said, don't you realize that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath? You see, I didn't make this Sabbath to give you all these rules that are difficult for you. I gave this to you for your benefit. You see, the Christian Sabbath isn't about keeping regulations. You know, many times you might have come here and you're wondering, like, why am I coming here? You know, there's so many things I could get done on Sunday. I don't have many days off. Why am I giving up this day? I've been very impressed by some of our younger members of the congregation who went downstairs. You know, their parents don't even come here, but they wake up. They give their parents trouble when they're not going to church. I'm going to church. I'll see you later. They come across the street. They want to be here early in the morning. I'm just so blessed and encouraged by them. And you see, the thing is, today is not a day about rule keeping. You don't have to be here. But today is here for you. Today is here as a blessing for you. It's for your benefit. God created you this way. In fact, as we read in Genesis, all of creation works on this rhythm. God created everything in 6 days, but on the 7th day he rested. So what makes you different? And I want to just say this, particularly to the people in D.C., we live in such a culture of overfunctioning, right? I meet people, and they have days off, and what are you doing on your day off? Oh, I'm catching up on work. How's that working for you? There's always work, isn't there? And not only that, we start to treat this Sunday as a day of routine. It becomes predictable to us. We don't think that this is actually a day where we gather before the presence of God and that God can change our hearts, that God could heal us, God could touch us. We've become very comfortable, and we treat these things as ordinary Sundays. And God says to us that this is no ordinary day. This is, in fact, a special day, a day that is set apart, literally holy. And that is what it means. Make this day a holy day. What do you do on the 6 days? Don't do it on the 7th day. It is a day that is set apart for God. It's in this special day where God wants to renew us and remind us of his greatness and show us the great things he's doing in our lives. And so, Jesus has many teachings we read in the New Testament about Sabbath. And I'm going to go through a couple of them. And we have a little insert for notes. And I'll be doing this more in the future. And you don't have to write in them. I know some of the younger folks are like, oh man, this looks like just like school or something. But there is a study that says that the best way to retain information and knowledge is actually to write it out. You don't even have to go back to it necessarily, but just the act of writing and, you know, remembering things can really help you. So for young people, why do you take notes? It helps you remember. And for older folks, you know, it helps you remember. Same thing. So I encourage you, if you want to, there is an insert. You don't have to, like, write all the content, but just something if you feel like the Holy Spirit is kind of pricked on your heart. Oh, that's a verse I want to come back to, or that's something I should remember. You can just write that. It could be half a sentence, whatever. Don't feel like I'm going to quiz you. Or maybe next year at the retreat, maybe I'll do a game about my sermons. I don't know. Like, see, like, points, who remembers what. I probably won't do that, so don't worry. Or maybe I will. But I did want to share three reflections that I think Jesus had on his reflection of the Sabbath that I think is applicable to us. The first thing I think Jesus saw the Sabbath is that it was a day of freedom. And this is very important. I know that sometimes we come to church and we're thinking like, oh, this is a day where I'm trapped in my pew until Sam says I can leave, right? I remember this often. The best prayer I had for my dad was the benediction because I knew we're gonna leave soon. When he says amen, when he puts down his hands, I'm out that door, I am free. Hallelujah. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. The thing is, though, God is trying to say that this, that we're doing here as we're worshiping, is a day of freedom. It's a day that we're seeking to be freed from God by the difficulties of the week. Think of what's happened this week. Have you felt chained? Have you been burdened? You know, some of us come in with a lot of difficulties and stresses. And you've come in here feeling like those stresses are like heavy weights upon you. You know, 1 Peter 5:7, it says that we cast our cares on him because he cares for us. This is a time in our worship, in our prayer, in our engagement with God, that we bring the cares of the week. And we say, God, free me from these things. We read that in Mark, that this is a day that we should have faith. That God can do great things in our midst. You know, in Mark chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, the Pharisees looked down on Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. You know, it's kind of like, hey, Jesus, you're breaking the rules. We don't want people to be healed. We don't want people to be blessed today, because that's not the way it works. And Jesus totally challenges them. He says, the Sabbath is exactly the day where we should be healed, exactly the day that we should see the greatness of God and be restored. He wants this to be a day not where you feel drained, but a day that you feel like life restored to you. And how often have we kind of come into Sabbath, into our Sundays, thinking like, does God really move? Does God really do anything? In fact, Sunday should be the day, is like, what is God going to do today? If we're not being blessed by God this day, then what are we doing? Because God is not honored by it. He's saying, this day was for you. And if you're not being blessed by it, then what are you doing? You see, in the story that we read in Mark chapter 2, the whole thing was that people were saying, hey, your disciples are eating. They're getting fed on this day. Don't do that. And Jesus is saying, hey, think about David. When he was hungry, they ate. This is a day to be fed. It's not about, like, trying to be all pious and get all stuffy and trying to say, like, okay, this is a day that I'm keeping rules. Which leads us to the second understanding of Jesus about Sabbath. The second thing is, it's a day of holy rest. And I want to be very clear, the word Shabbat that we get the word Sabbath from, it is the word rest, but as I said before, it's an active word. It's a verb, an active thing of rest. And so I know many people, when they hear rest, they think, yes, sleeping in, watching bad movies, eating bad food, praise God, this is rest. You know, that is called laziness. I'm sorry. It's not a day of laziness. And many people are very disappointed now. They're totally tuning out the message. They're like, oh, man, I thought Sam was advocating for, like, bad food. Dang it. It takes a lot of trust to rest, to make rest an active deed. To say that today, many of us in this room, I know that you have many important responsibilities. Constantly as I'm talking with people, I'm amazed at all the things that are on your plate. But it takes a lot of trust to rest. And it is a spiritual discipline to say that on this day, Sunday, I am going to trust you enough, God, to rest, to believe that 6 days are enough, that you have given me by grace a day that I can rest. It takes a lot of faith to say, like, you know what, God, I've got mountains of work to do. I've got mountains of responsibility, mountains of stress. But today I'm going to say, I trust you so much that when I sleep, you're going to take care of the universe. You know, Psalm 23, it says, in the midst of my enemies, you'll prepare a table for me. In the midst of pressing things against me, I can rest. I remember in seminary, of all things, I was so busy. I was studying all the time. And God really convicted me. He said, like, Sam, if you're really studying my word all the time, do you think you could just trust me and not study on Sunday? And the young people are like, yeah, I like this. But could you not study on Sunday and just trust that the other 6 days will be enough for you to work and that my grace will be enough? And you know what? Sure enough, I did this for several years. And everything got done. I didn't get any extensions. In fact, I became a little more effective, if you will. I got things done. And I met these other people who were like working nonstop, always feeling like they're behind, always chasing the clock. And you know, the Sabbath is kind of saying, like, the clock is not your master. The Sabbath is a day of rest to say that God is your master, and that even the pressing things that you have, you can surrender them to him. Luke chapter 10, verse 13 to 17. There was a woman who was in need of healing. But what did the Pharisees do? They made up excuses. Hey, Jesus, we don't do that on the Sabbath. Send her away. Tell her to come back the other day. And you know, how often have we done that? Not out of active rest, but out of laziness, we've not done things on Sabbath. And what is the whole point of resting? Many people I know as a pastor have come to me, Pastor Sam, I'm all burnt out. I need a break. And so what I did in the past was like I became very Mr. Nice Counselor. Oh, yeah, you need a break. Just take some days off. Take as much as you want off. And what I found, I'd come back to them a couple of months later. They're not doing anything anymore. No responsibilities. They're free as a bird. I come back and I ask them, how do you feel? I'm more tired than ever. Have you guys ever felt like that? You have a vacation. I'm going to do nothing on this vacation. I'm just going to lie around. Just watch YouTube nonstop. And for people who don't know what that is, you know, I'm just going to sit on the couch nonstop. Do you feel refreshed, replenished? No, you feel even more tired. You see, there's an active discipline to our rest. Just unbridled inactivity is not restful. There is a purpose in our rest, which leads us to the third thing that Jesus talks about. That the Sabbath is also a day of remembering. We rest so that we remember. You know, the call to worship today, we love that verse, be still and know that I am God. But you know, you read before, and what God is trying to say is like, you know, all the nations are fighting. All the nations are just at each other's throats. But look how God just like plows through all of our activity and makes us stop. And why does he make us stop and be still? Just so we can be lazy? No, he says, be still so that you realize that I am God. And that is what we do on this Sunday. Why do we stop our activity? Why do we do that active commitment, that scary task of saying, God, I'm going to stop working today and enjoy creation. I'm going to enjoy our life made in you. Is that he is calling us to remember him. If you look at Exodus chapter 20, if we can even go to that slide, verse 11. It says right here that, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. You see, the whole reason we're doing this, it comes back to God. What did God do? You see, God rested. It reminds us of what he did. This is the day that we remember who he is, our creator, our God. You see, sometimes we live in this world and we think that the world is so big, the created things in this world, the job we have, the responsibilities we have, they're so big. We take this day of rest to remember that they're just created things. We remember the creator. How often have we spent in our schedules taking so much time to think about all the created things in the world, all the created stresses we have, and we've forgotten the Creator, the one who is greater than all those things. This is the day that we remember who He is. This is also the day that we remember what He's done. You see, if He's done all these amazing things, if He's created the world, then surely He is powerful enough to deal with the concerns you have. When it feels like that Red Sea is like crashing in on you, remember that He is the one who parts the Red Sea. Remember who He is. Remember what He's done. And then also, this is important, remember what He can do in your life. And what do I mean by that? Remember what He can do about your current circumstance and your future. You know, a lot of people, they avoid Sunday worship because they think like, you know what, I got too many things on my calendar this week. I can't fit it in. You know, right now my life is too crazy. Can't do it. Once my life theoretically all comes together very neatly and stuff, God, I'll see you then. You know, I've seen this often. God, once I like finish up my studies and stuff, I'll see you then. Once we have kids and they grow up and they're mature enough to go to church, we'll see you then, God. God, once I retire, I'll see you then. But you see, Sabbath is a day where you stop and say, you know what, that's not a future thing. God can do that right now in your life. God can address the things that you're going through right now in your life. It's not just about what God's done in the past. God can do new things in your life. Today, tomorrow, it is a day to remember who He is, what He's done, what He can do. And so I just want to challenge us today. You know, this is not an ordinary Sunday. This is a day that we see God. Why have many of our churches start to, there's a silent exodus, they say, in many of our churches. Churches are getting empty. People are finding them irrelevant. And as we can increasingly go into this society of secularism, seeking to kind of just keep functioning on our own strength, forgetting about the importance of a Sabbath. We're a world running on empty, frantic. And God has given you this day to come back and remember the Lord of all. And He's inviting you. He made this day for you. Enjoy it. You know, as a pastor, Sunday is a day of our work. So Pastor Charles and I, we have a day off during the week. But it's important for us. We really stick to it because it's important for us to take that time out to find restoration in God, to be replenished. You know, do you have that time to have that step of faith to say, you know what, we're going to take time out to not be commanded by our schedules? Yesterday, you know, Rhea and I had a real blessed time of just like having a hike, you know, eating some good food and just giving ourselves some space in the midst of our very busy schedules and very serious things. I know it's difficult. You know, the world doesn't want to stop for you. But God wants to say to you is that He is the Lord of the Sabbath, as we sang in that first hymn today. He is the Lord of rest, and He wants to give that to you. If you want to do this spiritual battle, take His rest, and then come back to battle, and then take His rest again. God is inviting you to rest today. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, in the midst of our busy, over-functioning lives, we ask, Lord, that You would just break in with a Sabbath, Lord. Would You remind us about Your importance? Would You decenter us from the universe, God, and put Yourself there in the rightful place of the center of all things? God, we ask that You would help us to treat this Sunday as no ordinary Sunday, but as a holy day, a day that is set apart for You. Lord God, would You grant us rest? Would You grant us restoration, renewal, revival on this day, all for Your glory? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.